Well, hello everybody, and welcome. Welcome to December 26th and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the accelerators that you read today. Of course, you probably realize that 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John were written by John, the apostle of Jesus who followed him. And John is the only one of all of the followers of Jesus, the original 12 followers, who lived to an old age and died a natural death. He was exiled for at least part of that time to the island of Patmos, but as he grew older and older, the church that he led hung on his every word because he was one who was actually there and saw Jesus. And so John is the author of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the three letters you read today, and the book of Revelation. Now, John begins in 1st John by referring to Jesus as the Word when he writes, and as an eyewitness. He was there on the scene. This is a very big deal by the time he writes 1 John. He has saw, he even touched Jesus, who lived on the earth. This is the same way, this idea of starting with the Word made flesh, same way that he starts the Gospel of John. It's an important theme of John that he probably spoke and taught on his entire life. And that idea translated Word in the English is actually Logos in the Greek. And it stands for the eternal reason of God and the communication power of God, that God brought his reason and his communication to planet Earth in the person of Jesus. Very important concept for John. Another hallmark of John is the symbolism of Jesus as the light. And you see this all over 1 John as well. Jesus called himself the light of the world in John 8:12, and the theme of light comes out prominently in both the Gospel of John and in 1 John. Jesus is light, and he brings light into a dark world. Light exposes everything. You can imagine this. When you walk into a dark room, let's say your bedroom, and you flip on the lights, well, you can see what's going on in a bedroom. It could be very tidy, or it could be very messy. It could be clean, or it could be dirty. You flip on the lights, and you know where you can step and where you have danger if you step in that location, especially if your kid left Legos on the floor or something. So light exposes the darkness, and it helps us with learning more about the truth. Now, fortunately, Jesus brings light into our lives. And just like light comes into a bedroom, Jesus' light exposes our messes, it exposes our dirty places, it exposes the sincerity of our spiritual faith. Now, fortunately, right after the prologue talking about Jesus as the light is this golden verse, 1 John 1:9, that I'd encourage everybody to memorize if you haven't memorized it already. It says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins. Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness and brings about forgiveness. And all you need to do is bring your junk to him. Now, this is good news because when you become a Christian, you don't become perfect. You still have junk in your life. But the promise is that Jesus will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a powerful thing for us to bank on, especially when the light comes into our lives and we're exposed to all of the darkness. Well, Jesus is ready to forgive. Well, John urges us not only to think about Jesus as the Word and as the light, but also as love. And he reminds us of the, quote, new command that Jesus gave to love one another. In his little letter of just five brief chapters, John will refer to it four times as the key application of how to live in the light. Now, beyond these things, John talks to three different classes of believers in the book of 1 John, little children, young men, and fathers in chapter 2. John's assumption is that the body of Christ is filled with people who are at different stages in their spiritual development. We start out as children, we develop as young people, and move on more spiritually as fathers. And that's not an automatic process in the Christian life, but I must say it's unnatural if you don't go in that direction. God expects us to grow up spiritually in our relationship to Jesus as we live more and more in the light and live more and more according to love. John tells believers how to live out their life in this light by doing what is right. So we want to do this in light of the idea that Jesus will return. And even at an old age, John was convinced that Jesus was still coming back. Now, on the flip side, John is equally concerned that some of his readers test their relationship with Jesus to make sure that they really are his followers. And John gives three tests in the book of 1 John in order to be able to test your faith and see if it really is sincere. If you don't pass these tests, then you have no right to call yourself children of God. It's important to approach these tests with sobriety. The first test in John 3 is a moral test. It's the test of obedience. We know that our relationship with Christ is real if we obey Him and live out His commands in our lives. The second test is the test of a social test. It's the test of love. John would never forget Jesus' words at the Last Supper. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, your love for one another. The love test goes second to the test of obedience. And then the third test is a doctrinal test. It's a truth test. The test is the belief that Jesus Christ is God. You cannot be a Christian and deny that Jesus is God in the flesh. He is God who was made flesh and came to earth to dwell among us. And John says this in John 1:14, 1 John 5, 6, and 9, etc. And John's hope is that these tests will not make you feel unconfident about your place in God's family, but quite the opposite, that you'll be confident. You'll say, yes, I obey, I love, I believe that Jesus really is God's Son. And because of that, you can have confidence in Him. Well, the next two letters, there are two items that are apparent. Just as in 1 John, there's a letter to all Christians everywhere, so 2 and 3 John are personal letters addressed to specific individuals. The chosen lady the chosen lady is in 2 John, and Gaius is his friend in 3 John. For 2 and 3 John, the Christian life is called a walk. You ever hear someone talk about their walk with Christ? Well, that comes from the analogies that are used in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In 1st John, we're exhorted not to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light. 2nd John exhorts us to walk in obedience and love, and 3rd John uses the expression to walk in truth. In all these, we see that the way that we should live in our relationship to Jesus is to walk with Him. I love that analogy because I love going on long walks with people that I love. I love going on walks with Kelly. I love going on walks with my kids. I love going on walks with my cousin. I love going to camp where there's a long camp road that I can go for a walk with some of my friends that I see once a year. But there's nobody that I love to walk with more than I love to walk with Jesus. Walking in the light, walking in the truth, walking in His love. And I pray that the same is true for you, that your life is filled with what 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John tell us to do. Walk with Jesus.